I really appreciate the attitude that Charlie showed in trying to respond to my speech. He did it very enthusiastically, and I appreciate that. We need to be enthusiastic for what we believe. And he tried to respond to what I said, and I appreciate that. But Charlie is wrong. Now, really, what we did in those two speeches is this. This to summarize it, in my opinion. You tell me if you agree. I said, got up here and I labored for 20 minutes to try to show we ought to obey Acts 20, verse 7. We ought to follow the Bible in that verse. Charlie got up here and spent his 20 minutes saying, no, we don't really need to. We don't really need to follow that example. That's basically what it amounted to. I urged you to obey God in Acts 20, verse 7. Charlie said, for a number of different reasons, no, you don't have to obey God in Acts 20, verse 7. That's basically what it amounts to. Let me show you that. Turn to Acts 20, verse 7. Charlie's first point was when it says upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, he says that Paul preached unto them until midnight. And so they couldn't have eaten the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week because it would have been after midnight. It would have been on the second day of the week. Charlie assumed something there. He assumed that they didn't do what they came together to do. It says they came together to eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. He says, well, they didn't get it done. Paul preached till midnight, so they must have eaten the Lord's Supper after that. Really? Have you ever thought of this, Charlie? Maybe they ate the Lord's Supper first, before he preached. And then he preached till midnight. You see, he assumed that they were going to have the preaching first, and then the Lord's Supper. And so when he says they preached till midnight, then he says, oh, they didn't eat the Lord's Supper until the second day of the week, after midnight. Charlie, you made an assumption there. Suppose they ate the Lord's Supper first and then had the preaching. You know, Charlie's assumption does a violence to the Word of God because it says they came together to eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, and Charlie says they didn't get it done. They didn't get it done. What does the verse say they came together to do on the first day of the week? To break bread, to eat the Lord's Supper. I believe they got it done. I believe they did exactly what they intended to do. We do. The churches of Christ come together to eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. And suppose we were to come together at 11:30 at night. You know what we would do? We'd eat the Lord's Supper first before we had the preaching, because we wouldn't want the guy to accidentally preach over past midnight, and we wouldn't get the Lord's Supper eaten till the second day of the week. So if we met late, like Charlie's assuming they did here, we'd eat the Lord's Supper first to make sure we got it done on the first day of the week. And I'm sure that's what they did here. If Charlie's right about his assumptions, that's what they did. They ate the Lord's Supper first. But then Charlie brought up verse 11 about Paul eating. Paul, I don't know if Charlie is saying that verse 11 is talking about the Lord's Supper or not. I think not. He says, verse 11, and from what he said in verse 7, they ate the Lord's Supper on the second day of the week. Remember his reasoning? He preached till midnight, so they must have eaten the Lord's Supper on the second day of the week. Okay, Charlie, let's go with that just for a little while. Charlie said at least three times in his speech, they ate the Lord's Supper on the second day of the week. Do y'all do that, Charlie? The second day of the week in our society is called Monday. Do y'all eat the Lord's Supper on Monday? Have y'all ever done it on Monday? Or do y'all do it on Sunday, the first day of the week? Well, Charlie said they did it on the second day of the week. Now, I don't think he's right about that, but if he's right, then you ought to be coming together every Monday to eat the Lord's Supper. That makes me wonder, really, if Charlie really believes what he's preaching. I'm not accusing him of being insincere, not at all. But I really don't think he believed the argument he was making. I really don't think he believes they ate the Lord's Supper on the second day of the week, because he doesn't eat it on the second day of the week. He doesn't eat it on Monday. Verse 11 is not talking about the Lord's Supper. That's talking about Paul, after the service is over, Paul eating a common meal. Don't y'all do that sometimes? Y'all have service Sunday morning, let's say, and then some of you maybe go out to a restaurant after services are over and eat a meal and talk for a long while. Isn't that what that's talking about? Notice the differences between the Lord's Supper in verse 7 and the meal that Paul ate in verse 11. First of all, verse 7 says they came together to break bread. Together, all the disciples. But verses 8 through 10, when Eutychus fell, that ended Paul's sermon, that ended the assembly. The assembly broke up. 1 Corinthians 11 requires you to eat the Lord's Supper in the assembly, the church assembly. But by then, verse 11, the assembly had already broken up. Paul is eating and talking a long while in verse 11. Does that sound like the Lord's Supper? No, he had already got through preaching. The service was broken up because of Eutychus falling. he's sitting around talking late in the evening, of course, after midnight, very early the next morning. He's eating, he's talking. It's not a religious service anymore. He's just talking to them. And then he leaves on the morrow, in the morning. All the disciples came together to eat in verse 7. That's the Lord's Supper. In verse 11, it's only Paul ate. Verse 7, it says they came together to eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Verse 11, Charlie's right about this, that was the second day of the week. You see, verse 11 is not talking about the same thing as verse 7. Verse 7 is talking about something the disciples came together to do on the first day of the week, all of them together. They're not talking about football. Verse 11, that's something that Paul did. He ate on the second day of the week. And he might have been talking about sports for all I know at that time. He was just talking about things. It wasn't necessarily religious. This is two completely different things. Again, I want to leave this with you. If they ate the Lord's Supper on the second day of the week, as Charlie contended, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? If we really thought that that was the Lord's Supper in verse 11, and it was on the second day of the week, you know what we would do? We'd be eating the Lord's Supper every second day of the week. You know why? Because we want to go to heaven. We'd want to obey God, and we would do it. We wouldn't get up here and just say, well, that was on the second day of the week, Pat, but then continue to eat it on the first day of the week when we did do it. If that's really what we argued and debate, we'd change our practice to do that. It makes me wonder if Charlie really believes that. And then Charlie said Acts 20, verse 7 is not the Lord's Supper. And he went into the fact and showed you one or two places where breaking of bread, like in the case of Jesus, I believe it's in Luke 24, 31, if I got the reference, where the breaking of bread refers to a common meal. You'll remember in my first speech, I admitted the breaking of bread can refer to the common meal or to the Lord's Supper. It can. But I showed you an example of where the breaking of bread, everybody here would agree that it's talking about the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So I've established that many times, or at least sometimes in the New Testament, we see breaking of bread is referring to the Lord's Supper, right? Everybody agrees it's referring to the Lord's Supper there. Charlie said, oh, well, it always tells you for sure it's the Lord's Supper. What about Acts 2:42? I think Charlie would agree that in Acts 2:42, the breaking of bread refers to the Lord's Supper, because it's mentioned along with the apostles' doctrine, that is the preaching, the fellowship, which is probably the contribution, the breaking of bread and prayers. That's not a common meal, that's the Lord's Supper. But all it does is call it the breaking of bread. I think Charlie would agree. So sometimes it refers to the common meal, sometimes the Lord's Supper. How do I know in Acts 20, verse 7, it's not talking about a common meal, but it's talking about the Lord's Supper? How do I know that? Do you remember in Acts 20, verse 7, it didn't just say one or two people came together to break bread? But it says the disciples came together. That was the church assembling. And they had preaching there. That's the preaching service. That's not a common meal like you go out to the restaurant at Ryan's after service. That is the preaching service. Now notice 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that I've referred to but haven't read. I want to read 1 Corinthians 11, 20 through 22 to begin with. It says, when you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And of course, we understand it was supposed to be the Lord's Supper, but they had changed it so much that Paul was hesitant about calling the Lord's Supper. He says, based upon the way you've changed it, it's not the Lord's Supper. And one of the reasons that he said it's not the Lord's Supper, even though you intended to be, he says, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame that they have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And then notice verse 34. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. What is Paul saying? He's saying the church assembly, when you all come together into one place, as chapter 11 points out, don't eat common meals there. You're not supposed to be eating meals to satisfy your hunger in the church service. The church service is for doing these spiritual things, like preaching, Bible study, prayer, and the Lord's Supper. If you're hungry, don't do it in the church service when the whole church has come together in one place. You wait and eat that at home. Afterwards, maybe you go to Ryan's and eat. That's fine. You see, Paul is saying when you come together in the church, don't eat a common meal. He's saying that's what y'all were doing wrong. It was sin. That's how I know Acts 20, verse 7 is not talking about a common meal. That was the church assembly. The disciples had come together. It was a preaching service. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, when you're in that situation, when the church has come together, don't eat to satisfy your hunger. That's not the place for a common meal. You should do that at home, outside the church assembly. Do you see that? Acts 20, verse 7 can't be talking about a common meal, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 through 34, to eat your common meals at home, outside of the church assembly, outside of the church service. Acts 20, verse 7 is in the preaching service when they come together, the disciples. So it can't be talking about the common meal. It must be talking about the Lord's Supper. Do you see that? That's pretty simple. And then Charlie asked me, how often do I wash feet? Well, Charlie, I do wash people's feet, but it is always to help somebody because their feet are dirty. It is never just a religious ceremony. Evidently, Charlie is saying in y'all services, y'all wash feet as a religious ceremony. Even if the person's feet is not dirty, you do it as a religious ceremony. That's not the way it was in the Bible. It was not a religious ceremony you're supposed to do in church. Notice in John 13:10, Jesus implies you do this because somebody's feet are dirty. In talking to Peter, he says in John 13:10, he that is washed needs not save to wash his feet. In other words, a person that's already clean, he would be clean all over except his feet would be dirty. Like in those days, they perhaps wore sandals, walked on dirt paths. They may be clean all over except their feet. And so you would offer to wash their feet as an act of service. It's not something you put in the church and just do it as a religious ceremony. No, washing the feet is done because you're actually trying to help somebody. Somebody needs something, and you could. If somebody needs to be fed, you feed them. If somebody needs their hands to be washed, you wash them. If somebody needs their hair washed, like my mother, who has cancer and her arms hurting her so bad, she can't even wash her own hair. You wash her hair. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Now here's the lady that's complimented because she washed the saints' feet. Now it says she's brought up children. Is that something you do as a religious ceremony in the church service? No, it's an act of service that you do to help people because they need it. She has lodged strangers. Is that something you do simply as a ceremony in the church service? Obviously not. And then it says she's relieved the afflicted. I guess that's talking about the sick. Is that something you do simply as a ceremony, whether they need it or not? You relieve the afflicted even though they're not really afflicted. You lodge strangers even though they don't need lodging. You brought up children even though they don't need bringing up, and you're doing it just simply as a religious ceremony? That's not what that's talking about, and neither is the washing of feet. She washes feet because somebody needs their feet washed, and she's humble enough to do that as a service. And that's what we do. It's without Bible authority to take the washing of feet and put it in the church service, just like it would be any of these other things in 1 Timothy 5, verse 10, without Bible authority. Charlie says, well, they washed feet in the Old Testament also. But you notice, every time in the Old Testament they washed feet, it was never a religious ceremony. Never. It was always an act of service because their feet were dirty every time. All right? But you know what Charlie's argument is on this? This is basically what it is. Okay? Pat's looking in Acts 20, verse 7, and he's saying, you ought to eat the Lord's Supper first of the week. And we don't do that. Well, Pat doesn't wash feet. So I guess, here's Charlie's argument. I guess since Pat's not washing feet like he ought to in the church service, then it's okay for us not to eat the Lord's Supper like we ought to. That's really what he's saying. Isn't that what he's saying? Yeah. I brought up the Lord's Supper the first day of the week, and he said, well, Pat's not even washing the feet. So his argument is, well, Pat's wrong about the washing of feet there. It's okay for me to be wrong on the first day of the week, Lord's Supper. No, Charlie, two wrongs never make a right. If you can find something inconsistent in my belief, my teaching, and my practice, that's great, and I should change. But it will never justify you if you're doing something that's wrong. Finding a fault with me and the churches of Christ will never make it right to skip and ignore what Paul and the other disciples did in Acts 20, verse 7. It will never do that. Now, it might mean that we need to repent and we may need to change our practice, but it will never make what you're doing that's a violation of the Word of God, it will never make that right. Two wrongs never make a right. And then he pointed out 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, as if that verse proved that you could eat the Lord's Supper just any time you wanted to. Let's read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26 together. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, and see if that's really what it's saying. 1 Corinthians 11, 26 says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Does that say that God is saying you can eat it as often as you choose? That's what Charlie acted like it said. It doesn't say, eat it as often as you want to. Eat it as often as you choose. It says, as often as you do it, then here's what you're accomplishing. You're showing the Lord's death till He comes. Did you say five? That's what it's saying. Let me give you an illustration I like to use on this point. My dad was a football coach, and he was a stickler about physical work and exercise. Starting when I was 6 years old, I had to lift weights religiously every other day. If I missed, I got a spanking. All right? I hated it. All right? He told us to lift weights every other day. I had to do it. I didn't like it, but I had to. My daddy made me. Later on, he also wanted us to jog, run a mile. Later on, he says, every other day, he says, basically, he said this, for as often as you lift weights, I also want you to jog. He added that to the exercise list. As often as you lift weights, I want you to run 1.2 miles. That's how far we had to run. As often, he didn't mean, though, oh, all of a sudden you can just lift weights any old time you want to. If he'd have said that, I'd have done it about once a year at the most. Now, that's not what he meant when he says, as often as you lift weights, I also want you to run 1.2 miles. That's not what he meant. He didn't say you can just lift weights whenever you want to. He'd already told us to do it every other day. What he's saying is that as often as you do it, I want you to add to the list running a mile 0.2. That's what he meant. And if we had come back like Charlie's doing it in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, and say, Dad, after about a year, my dad came up to me, have you been lifting your weights every other day? Oh, no, Dad, you said as often as I lift weights, I was to run 1.2 miles. And I thought you meant that was to lift weights as often as I choose. You know what would happen to me if I'd have said that, if I'd have done what Charlie did with this passage. This passage doesn't say as often as you choose, eat the Lord's Supper. It says as often as you do it, you're showing the Lord's death till He comes. Acts 20, verse 7 shows us how often we are to do it. It's clear. It's unmistakable. The disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread, and Paul preached to them. We've shown that cannot be a common meal. We've shown that it's not the same thing as verse 11. That was a common meal. One was done in the church service by all the disciples. One was done by one brother after the church service was already broken up. It was broken up by Eutychus falling down and ending the sermon after midnight. One brother, and he was talking about things. That word eaten, by the way, Charlie, in 1 Corinthians in Acts 20, verse 11, where he had eaten and talked a long while, that word eaten is never used in the New Testament to refer to the Lord's Supper. And so I would just like to remind you again of what the Bible has to say on this subject. Again, I believe that what the good summary of what's going on so far is, I've spent my time trying to encourage you to obey Acts 20, verse 7. Charlie has spent his time trying to say, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Here's why. And he's given us a laundry list of reasons why you don't have to obey God on this point. Why? Why even try to come up with reasons? Instead, why not just obey God so you can go to heaven? Acts 20, verse 7 says, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. They came together to break bread, and I believe they got it done, don't you? They ate the Lord's Supper. Then, I suppose, after they were done with the Lord's Supper, Paul preached till midnight. Eutychus fell. It broke up the assembly. Later on, while Paul was waiting to leave, of course, he was hungry. He ate a meal. Remember, 1 Corinthians 11, I've already brought up in verse 34 and verse earlier in the chapter, 21 and 22, around there. The Lord's Supper is not to satisfy hunger. It's not to satisfy hunger. That's not why we do it. That's a sin if you're doing it to satisfy hunger. Now, and then I brought out conclusively that we are to follow example. Charlie said, well, Pat has not shown the commandment to eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. I showed you commandments that we are to follow Paul's approved example. Remember 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Remember Philippians 4, verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace be with you. 1 Corinthians 4, 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. There is the command. We have to obey commands. There is the command to follow Paul's example. What is Paul's example? What is the disciples' approved example in Acts 20, verse 7? They came together on the first day of the week to eat the Lord's Supper. Was it every first of the week? Of course. Just like, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy meant they had to keep every Sabbath day holy. Eating the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week in Acts 20, verse 7, that's the example. Since every week has a first day in it, that would mean we need to do it every first day of the week. Are you following God? Are you eating the Lord's Supper every first day of the week like the disciples did in Acts 20, verse 7? Do you claim to be a New Testament Christian? Do you claim that the church you worship with is a church, a congregation that follows the New Testament? Well, here's what the New Testament says. You know, the rubber meets the road sooner or later. Here's what the Bible says, Acts 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. We've shown it's the Lord's Supper. There's no denying it. They preached. We ought to do that. Time. Are you doing that? Thank you very much.